All right. Say a few words. I just want to make sure the levels look good.
A few words.
All right. Yep. Yep. Those good. Few words look good. All right. Cool. I think we're good. All right. So I guess I'll get started. 3, 2, 1. Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Mega Ran, and this is another episode of Random Encounters, where I sit down with very interesting people, very interesting walks of life, who do interesting things. I met my next guest on a photo shoot. I don't know if you even remember, but I came to your house, and we did a photo for the Phoenix New Times cover, and you absolutely nailed it. So my guest is Jim Louveau. Hello, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. All right, so do you remember that day? I mean, I'm sure you do this a lot, but...
No, I definitely do this a lot, but I absolutely remember that.
Okay.
That day, we had a good shoot.
It was a really good shoot. It was fun times. You were great as far as like recommending ideas, making things work. It was awesome. So in the process of taking these photos, I look around and I see more amazing photos everywhere in the house. And they're just like the most epic, like action shots. There's like, you know, there's set shots. There's incredible of like a who's who of rock and roll. And it's just like, it blew my mind. And you started telling me stories and I was just like, oh, wow. Okay. So this isn't just, I didn't just show up at like random photographer's house to take a random photo. Like, Jim is an extremely interesting person. So, Jim, before we get into the past, let's talk about mainly what you do these days and maybe how, as particularly a concert photographer, how the last year and a half has been for you.
Interesting that you brought that up because, you know, when COVID hit and the world completely shut down, it shut down for most people for, you know, basically a year, a little bit more than a year. I had about 3 months of downtime, and then I started directing music videos.
Nice.
Almost a year ago to the date, like the first one I did was in LA on June 30th of 2020. And, you know, at that point, like I had been shooting shows and, you know, just working as a photographer for so many years. And basically, like, at least every 2 or 3 days I was shooting something. And for that whole process and my whole, basically my lifestyle to change, what feels like kind of overnight, that was a pretty big, blow to me creatively. Really that's kind of where it hit me the most. And so, I had a pretty short lived break, and then, you know, I basically pivoted to something new that hasn't stopped and is showing no signs of slowing down. So I basically feel like I've grown an extra limb over the past year, and I'm basically kind of growing into my new skin, so to speak, and just kind of taking in all of these new opportunities and just sort of another path on my artistic journey.
Now that's what I like to hear. The pivot, especially during these times. I was talking to a friend and we just kind of made a quick like passing note statement where he was like, man, if you're a creative and you didn't pick up a new skill during this time, then you're losing. And I was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, if there's an artist that hasn't learned anything new in this time, then you're going to be behind, you know? And so it's really interesting to see that you picked up a whole new vocation, so to speak. So what was the hardest thing, I guess, in translating what you do to still photography to a 3-4 minute song in a music video? Like, what's that like?
Well, the difference, like if I'm comparing it to concert photography, is like, you only have so long to capture that moment that you're looking for, and you have basically no control over what's going on. You're kind of working with, you know, the cards you've been dealt in front of you, and figuring out how to create these special moments. With video, you can keep doing it until you get it. which is a completely different sort of process. With that said, I mean, that was kind of like the biggest difference. But to me, when I would see other, you know, video productions or other video crews, and I would see, you know, 20 to 40 people on one set, I was like, I don't think all these people need to be here. Like, everyone kind of has a place and a job. And kind of as I've continued to do videos and the productions have gotten to be a little larger and the artists have gotten a little bit larger, I'm starting to learn why there was so many people on certain sets. I still think some of them are completely useless, for the record, but I do think that, you know, I'm still learning, and I'm learning kind of on the job, which is exciting for me. And, you know, I'm taking something new from every video that I'm doing. So it's exciting. It breathes like a new creative breath of fresh air into my life. And there's a ton of unknown, where as a photographer, I have a pretty good idea of what I'm doing at all times. So this is a little bit different of a beast for me, which can be stressful and exciting, exhilarating and terrifying all at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I like that you talked about the comparison. And so let's go back. Let's go back to you, Jim, as a upstart fledgling photographer. Do you remember the first photo gig, maybe where you got paid, or the first photo you took where you were like, yeah, I think I got something here?
Well, the first thing I got paid for was working for the Arizona Republic. I was like the classic case of like, I was like a kid that had worked like retail jobs when I was younger. And at some point, you know, retail ain't going to pay the bills no more. So when I left my last retail job working in a mall, and I worked in record stores for years as a kid, music's always been, you know, my passion and just art in general. But I remember getting a job, like an entry level job at the Arizona Republic, like selling newspaper subscriptions to people on the phone. And I remember when I was at this job fair, the lady's like, "So, like, what do you want to do?" "I want to take photos for the newspaper." And she kind of looked at me, she laughed, she goes, "Well, you might want to start with selling newspapers." And I was like, okay, well, you know, she was just trying to get another application filled out. I had bigger plans for myself. So I ended up getting that job and doing pretty well at charming older ladies who had not received their newspaper that day, and sort of just learning the ins and outs of how to be someone on the phone. And that was a whole thing for me. But after some time had passed, I started asking my bosses, like, what floor does what? Like, where's the person that's in charge of these photos that I see every day? Because we were only allowed to go on one website every day, and it was Arizona, you know, azcentral.com. And so I would go on there and I would look at like photos and like concert photos and like music photos. And I started asking enough questions where I was starting to get some answers. So I reached out to the photo editor, this guy, Michael Meister, who's still there as far as I know. And he took my email, but I had to really like bug him 5 or 6 times to actually meet with me. And he blew me off so much, but I was, you know, persistent. And eventually he took a meeting with me. And by a meeting, I went up two stories on the elevator and sat at his desk. But he basically, I showed him like, you know, 15 or 20 photos that I had taken. And he said, "Your stuff's great. I can't do anything for you." And I was like, okay. He's like, "The newspaper's at a point now where it's like someone leaves, we don't replace them. If someone retires, we don't replace them. Print media is in a real bad state right now." And I mean, I kind of already knew that. But he goes, "Look," he goes, "if there's a time where we need someone to shoot a concert and someone can't make it, or like all of our staff photographers are on other gigs, I'll have someone reach out to you. And you might want to reach out to this person." They gave me like a name of a lady, and kind of the same sort of thing. I was like, hi, I'm Jim. This is what I want to do. And eventually, I got a call to go shoot an Aerosmith and Motley Crue show. And it was like 3 or 4 hours before the show. And that was my first like real gig for the newspaper. And it started out as like kind of one a month. Then it went to two. Then it was three and four. And then it was sometimes, you know, two or three a week. And I kind of, you know, cut my teeth at the newspaper for quite some time, shooting concerts for them and then just events and things like that. And until, I think there was a time I wanted to shoot something where they had like a staff photographer that they were already sending. And I'm like, I need to find another place to also shoot. So that's when I reached out to the New Times and I literally sent an email that said, hi, my name is Jim Laveau. This is my work. That was kind of it. Like, it wasn't like, hey, I really want to work for you. It was like typical way that I kind of do things. I really just myself as frequently as I can be, even more now than in where I'm at in my life than I was even then. But I literally just said, I want you to know that I exist. And so, I got a response back pretty quick and went and met with the art director at the time. And that relationship blossomed. So I was shooting for the two bigger, you know, music related publications in town. And I did that for quite a while before things really started blossoming in other directions as well.
Nice. Naturally moving on and becoming like the photo god you are today. And yes, that's my words, not yours, but, naturally would lead to, you know, making, you know, these huge leaps. But I love for you that it started with, I love what you said about just showing the work and being your authentic true self. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and the work speaks for itself, you know, absolutely. So, I want to talk about even further back. Well, not necessarily, I don't know. I don't know exactly the timeline here, but tell me about how this timeline of you taking photos for gigs, moving from the Republic to the New Times, how does that coincide with Victims in Ecstasy in that timeline? So
that's interesting because all I ever wanted to do was be in a band, and photography was never really, it was something I enjoyed as far like the idea of being able to go to a show that I would already go to and be able to capture like those moments and that energy of like my favorite artists instead of like going to buy a concert t-shirt and showing up to work or whatever the next day. And like, there's five other people who went to the concert who have the same shirt. I was like, well, if I go and shoot the show, I'm the only one that has this thing. And that meant more to me than the t-shirt that eventually was going to get, you know, holes in it and I have to throw it out. Though my wife would say I probably have a bunch of stuff that should be thrown out and I hold on to everything.
Kind of the same way.
But when I was in Victims in Ecstasy, that was like my first real band. And I had the mentality that you have to be 110% into this one thing. You can't do more than one artistic venture at a time, which was a very immature young kid who, you know, doesn't know what he's doing. And I didn't really start taking photos seriously until that band broke up. That band was a big part of my life for you know, 5 or 6 years, and did a little bit of touring and, you know, played with a bunch of really cool up and coming bands at the time. And it was one of those things where I look back on all of that era as just a humongous learning like experience for me. I don't really like to go back and listen to the music so much, but I know that some people out there are still into it. So that's always cool that something you did 20 years ago, people still talk about a little bit.
That is cool. I mean, I would say it has a bit of a cult following, you know, where if you mention it in the right scene, people are going to be like, yeah, what do you know about that? You know, like you'll get a real good response. So it's really cool to see, particularly, you know, I've been in Arizona for about 15 years. And it's always great to see someone who has a history rooted in the scene,
in the desert,
and in the city, and in Phoenix,
yeah.
You know, in the desert. And like, I very seldom run into anybody who has any sort of, you know, real like roots in the scene and in the culture.
It's a
like
tough you place do. To so be, it's really man. Interesting. You know it as well as I do. There's a reason why so many of the photos and things that I've done have been out of Arizona, because there's this, the music or the culture or the art scene, so to speak. It's been on life support for most people for quite some time. So when we're talking about, you know, old school bands that I played in, you know, all those years back, that was a different era for the music community. You could go out on a Tuesday night to almost any given club and it would be packed with people seeing bands that they had never even heard of before, because there was such an excitement and an energy in the Phoenix and you know, if you want to call it Phoenix and Tempe scenes or whatever. There was a lot of really interesting and exciting things going on musically in that era, and there was a ton of support from the community and people were really into it. As you know, time kind of passed, a lot of my friends left, a lot of bands broke up, a lot of people had kids, got married and hung it up, didn't think that, you know, that they would be able to kind of sustain all of those things. But you know, I'm that person who swore they would probably never get married, never have kids, never, all completely just focused on my art. And now I have both of those things, and I need normal parts of my life to keep me balanced and keep my head screwed on right.
For sure.
But I haven't changed anything that I've done since I was basically 18. So you can do both, people.
You can do both. That is a great message, because a lot of people do feel like it's one or the other. You know, I've known so many talented musicians who, if the moment they had a kid, was like, I can't do this anymore. I gotta be dad. I can't be rock star and dad. Like, you, why not? You know, if everything's a balance. And yeah, if you love it, you know, like the ex told me many, many years ago, if you really, 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 really want to do it, you won't make an excuse. And I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. You know, because she lived an hour and a half away, and I'd be like, oh, it's too far. And she's like, yeah, if you wanted to, you would, you know, and it's the truth. So when you really want it, you don't have to let it go. And I think that's a really good piece of advice.
Maybe that's like an out for some people too. Maybe like they think that the thing that they're doing at the time, maybe ran its course, and it's a real, you know, when you're in a band with, you know, four or five other people, and everyone's kind of got that common goal. And when you have someone in your band or your project that maybe is starting to feel like this isn't the only thing in their life that makes them happy or can make them happy, then I feel like when life changes happen, it's a real easy out for those types. For some dumb reason, I'm a lifer of sorts, so I just have to make everything work. And I feel like having a family and having a home life that's, you know, supportive of what I'm doing, it really helps me like more in the long term than if I was just by myself. I go crazy.
Yeah, for sure. The same way, you know, absolutely. All right. So I want to round down with, I usually ask everybody their power rating, which is PWR, which stands for what they're playing, watching, or reading. Now, what are you playing? Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be a video game, but if you're maybe noodling around on an instrument, are you playing anything right now?
So I was shooting a video in LA, I guess we're going on about 2 months ago, and one of my buddies owns a recording studio out there that I crash out quite a bit when I'm out there. And he had just bought this, it was basically like an emulator that had 26,000 games on it and two joysticks, the USB right into his computer. And, you know, I've always been really like, I get served ads for those things and have for years, but it's like, you get the thing that you spend all the money on and it, like, the buttons don't work, or like, It's not the right version of the games. It's all basically pirated. So my buddy had this, like, this console type emulator, like, hanging out at his studio, and it had 26,000 of, like, my favorite games on there. So I'm an old school gamer. You know, I'm still the guy. I know the code to get to Tyson on Mike Tyson's Punch Out still by heart. You know, the Konami code and all that stuff. So I play a lot of old school games, man. I love, like, the whole Punch Out series, whether it's like the arcade version or the Tyson or the Mr. Dream when Mike Tyson got in trouble and they basically took Mike and turned him white and changed his name. But the Mr. Dream is still exactly like everything Tyson did is it's like to the T. But I like playing sports games, man. I remember when you were at my house, and I probably told you how much I love Tecmo Bowl. It's
yes, we talked about Tecmo Bowl.
Still a huge NBA Jam fan.
Did you know people are still playing Tecmo Bowl today, like online against each other?
Wait, what? You can play online?
Yeah, no. Online. We should talk about it. There's a device called there's a couple of them, but one's called Parsec, and another one's called RetroArch. And you can connect two different people, get on the same server, and they play Tecmo Bowl, and that other person is player two, and it plays perfectly.
Dude, we got to do that. I'm all in.
I'll show you how to do it.
Cool.
It's pretty great.
You asked me what I'm watching next? Is that what it is?
What are you watching? Yeah, that's the next one.
I'm watching scenes from music videos over and over again as we're editing them. So... I'm one of those people, like, when I go to bed at night, when I actually get into bed, I go into the bed with the idea that I'm going to sleep soon. My wife will watch TV long after I'm crashed out. So, I don't really have I feel like a lot of during pandemic, like production on so many shows and such was put on hold, that there isn't a lot of newer stuff out right now that I gotta watch that. Or if it's like one of those things where it's like, I don't have time to watch anything. And like when you're getting into like a new series or something, like it takes up a big chunk of your life. Even if it's like a couple weeks, I don't have that kind of time right now, to be honest with you.
I hear you.
And I watch a lot of like 80s and 90s and 2000s music videos. I get on that Pluto TV, and they have Vivo 80s, 90s, and 2K, and newer pop ones, and there's music blocks. I watched MTV when I was a kid. It was like my first babysitter. So even as an adult, I sit there and I go back and some of the stuff I'm just blown away by, and some of the stuff I'm like, who told these fools this was a good idea?
Right, like, we actually like this? Like, what is this mess?
Yeah, and it's funny, like, the evolution of music videos and the it's kind of like a correlation with, like, the music industry changing, where you can see, like, in the 90s, like, and early 2000s, there was tons of money in music videos. Like, it's like, you watch certain videos, like, you're like, that video cost $1 million. And again, going back to, like, what, $1 million? Like, how much of that money went into like the director's pocket, and like how much money did they spend on the video, and like all that sort of stuff. So, you know, and then you go like to the 80s and everything's like, there's a ton of like cheesy effects. It's almost like video games. Like some of those games, like you go back and you're like, man, 10-yard fight wasn't really that cool.
No, it wasn't.
You know what I mean?
But at the time we're like, oh, cool, this is so great. And then we look back
like, things like, you know, like Mario, like, still holds up today.
Still great, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's like it all kind of like ties in together, where there's just different eras of like, you know, time and art and business has changed and whatnot. So, you know, I wish that I, you know, was directing when the getting was good, but you know, there's still some stuff to be done out there. So
absolutely. Well, and lastly, what are you reading?
Lots of emails. Lots of emails and lots of messages. But
that's a good thing. That means you're booked and busy, as they say.
I've never been busier in my entire life. Like, true story, no BS. Like, you know, that was the thing, is like a lot of a lot of like photographers or artistic types, when someone reaches out to people, are like, dude, if you want to work with me, like, you got to do it now because I'm so busy. Like, you know, they're trying to get paid. Yeah. I get that. I've been that guy in the beginning, but now it's like, no joke. Like, if you want to do this, you got to do it now. Or I have to say no, or like refer. I don't even really have anyone to refer people to around here all that much. So I try to make things work, but yeah, I mean, I'm watching TV and reading books, man. Daddy ain't got time for that right now.
No time.
Got to create.
So I think this is incredible to see, you know, when I talk to creators, so many of them are like, man, I had this great 2020 planned and then boom, my life just fell apart and I've been trying to climb back. And, you know, so it's good to see a story where you've made it back. You took 3 months off and now it's like busier than ever.
Dude, it was one of those things where I felt guilty, to be honest with you. Like I saw so many other people struggling. I also saw a lot of people just like kind of sitting around doing nothing.
That there's a lot of that too, where people just kind of thought doom and gloom, like, and just didn't do anything, like didn't put themselves out there, didn't learn a new skill, didn't do anything. So it's two sides to that, you know. And myself too, I did pretty well during the pandemic, and it's only because I worked my ass off, you know.
Right.
And that's really what it was. It's like you got to step up the effort, you know, to make it happen.
For sure. I mean, I feel like, you know, you're someone, you've kind of started here and ascended to things outside of here and touring, and you have like a whole other thing, like the video game sort of side of what you do. You're so dialed into that at this point. I feel like you took like an opportunity and really ran with it, and I'm stoked to see. You know, are you still doing it? Like, it's funny when you're like, do you remember coming over or when you came into my house to do a photo shoot? Do you know how many times I've worked with people that a year later they weren't even in a band anymore? And, or like the band broke up, or like this, there would be like these new times, like 17 bands you need to hear about in 2017 and then 18 and 19. Like, we did stuff like that where it's like, dude, 10 of these bands or more aren't around when we did the issue the next year. So it kind of became like a joke to me, and we were like putting bands on the cover because like the photos were more interesting, not because like they were the best of the group, but it was like one of those things that, you know, like there was a couple of them where it's like, I could never tell people they were going to be on the cover of the magazine, but I knew it was like, if you give me more than the other band or the other artist, like without saying, hey, if you do this right, you're going to be on the cover. I couldn't say that, but
I can't say like that,
trying to pull as much out of these people as possible. And sometimes like some of the worst stuff, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. So that was short-lived. And that's something I'd love to get into without hopefully costing you any work, but I'm sure there's been times where, you know, you're doing it because it's the job and someone asked you to do it, but you're not necessarily interested, or they're not interesting. They're not necessarily giving you what you need to make this good. And that could be you're great at what you do, but is there ever a moment where you're thinking like, if we don't do this right, I'm not going to look good. So give me more. You know?
I feel like, as a photographer, you really kind of learn, or kind of like hone your craft or get your chops in with people who aren't interesting. If you can take people who aren't interesting looking and make them interesting in a photograph, then you've done your job and like, you're good at what you're doing. That didn't happen overnight. Like, I've worked with everything from like rock stars to politicians, you know, like politicians aren't, or doctors, or like immigrant. Like, I've done like so much different stuff when it came to like newsy type stuff, which some of that stuff was really interesting when I was doing it, because like getting out of music for 10 minutes is, you know, exciting at times. And sometimes it's like, well, I know why I'm in music, because I don't want to do this other thing. I don't want to, you know, take photos of people who are running for Congress in Casa Grande, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. I get it. Totally. But, okay. So I was wondering, like, there's such a thin line, you know, when creating for fun, you know, versus creating for a job, you know, there's always going to be that, you know, that scale of like, how interesting is this? How much do I care about it? But, you know, when you build that talent, you know, which, like you said, doesn't come overnight, you can make it, you can still make it look great and have fun doing it somehow, you know? So,
yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that because, like, it isn't even like, even with athletes, I remember, I did a New Times cover shoot with Devin Booker from the Suns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I had 5 minutes to get it done. And I just put him against, wow, kind of like I did with you, just like a white backdrop, and it got the shot, and then kind of built around that, and you know, in post, putting him in front of like a light wall, and it, making it look like that's how we did things.
Yeah,
yours was a little different because that's pretty obvious that that wasn't real.
Yeah, it was supposed to be fantasy. Yeah, it was supposed to be fake.
But the Booker cover, like, you know, I knew that I had a really short window with him, and making that work and like trying to direct him where the only thing he's ever done in a photo is hold a basketball like this or like dribble. It's like one of those things where it's like, okay, how am I going to take, you know, especially like now, like one of the most prominent local athletes and make this interesting? And people are going to like it because it's Devin Booker, but what is it going to take for me to like it?
Yeah.
So, stuff like that. And I thought it turned out really cool. So, go Suns.
Yeah. Turned out great. All right. So there's a Suns game tonight. So yeah, go Suns.
Yeah.
All right. So, I'm probably going to wrap up. I'm going to let you go. But if there is any person who wants to find you, I'm sure you're super busy, but how will they get more information on you?
I mean, you can find me on all the socials. I'm not hard to find. The worst thing that'll happen is you can spell my name wrong like you did.
I did do that. I just realized that.
It's okay.
Ooh, I have the hardest name to spell, so it gets my goat a little bit when I don't spell someone's name right.
I'm like, you probably get it too.
I'll fix it for the final, I guarantee.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for being here. All right. Oh, I got to ask my silly question.
Okay.
What is the thing that you're like just not good at? Like, yo, if somebody needs this done, math. Don't call me.
Math. Math. And I am not a handy person. My wife,
not handy.
My wife can fix things. Like if we get our daughter like a gift and it comes in a box, daddy is not the guy. Mama will do that. I am an artist, and I haven't done a lot of manual labor or hard work. I have very soft hands for a reason.
Same. Me too. All right. So just don't call them for any math
or
to fix anything, but any photos or videos, you know, you got it. All right. Jim Laveau, thank you so much for your time. I will talk to you very soon, I'm sure, down the road. Keep up the great work. I love the Killer Be Killed video. I watched through a bunch of them, and that might be my favorite, the Dream Gone Bad.
Thank you. Really, yeah, that was the third one.
Nice. That one's third video. Wow.
Third video.
Did a really good job.
That one's gonna hit 1 million views by the end of the year, so that'll be a fun milestone. So
yeah.
But yeah, man. Best of luck to you. I'm glad you're still doing the thing, and you know, wish you the best. We'll cross paths at some point again, I'm sure.
Absolutely. All right. Take care.
Take care.